Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And today is a real doozy.
Oh, boy, is it.
Is it ever. We've got the fantastic Esther Manito, a very funny comedian, very funny stand-up. We had a great time chatting to her, so look forward to that. Before we get cracking into the episode proper, we just wanted to give a shout out and a little appeal to Dave from Manchester. He is doing. We've done this before on the podcast. You may remember he's helping out to spread the word about the Children's Hospital Pyjamas appeal. The idea behind this is a sort of charity drive to make sure that every child in hospital on Christmas Day has a pair of brand new pyjamas. That's what they're after.
Lovely. What a lovely idea.
So lovely.
It's a really lovely thing. And it's running all the way through September through to December of this year, 2022. There are a few different ways you can do it. You can either go to their Amazon wishlist page and you can just find a pair of pyjamas that someone has wished for and buy them there. Or you can give, I think you can give donations, or you can actually buy pyjamas yourself and drop them off at various drop-off centres. But we will give you all of the details of where to find that in the show notes. Everything you need to know, though, is at www.childrenshospitalpyjamas.co.uk, or you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/childrenshospitalpyjamas. It's a it's just a really, really brilliant brilliant charity drive. And especially, you know, like, it must be a miserable experience having to spend Christmas in hospital, especially if you're a kid. So it's a nice thing to do, you know, in this time when it's kind of important that we all look out for each other. So a lovely appeal there. And yeah, get on board with that.
Lovely. Otherwise, we'll have a little chat at the end about upcoming gigs and the Patreon and things like that. But for now, enjoy the episode.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Esther, firstly, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for waiting for 15 minutes while I tinkered. And not even to do with the podcast. I just made you watch while I folded laundry.
Just had a few errands to catch up on.
I found it was really relaxing, actually. It was
the
really
great thing about our podcast is that people often use it as a chance to, you know, marry condo their flat while they're while we're nattering away. Esther, what kind of a person are you to live with? What's your setup? Who do you live with, and how are you to live with?
Oh, I live with the worst people.
Oh yes, now we're talking.
Here we go.
Because I made two of them, so they're awful.
Right, yeah.
So that's on you.
And then my husband. So the joke's on me because I married him.
Yeah. So it's all your fault, basically.
You've just got terrible taste.
I've got terrible taste, terrible genes, and my old man as well.
And what makes them so... What makes you... Firstly, what age are your kids?
9 and 7.
Okay.
You did well.
Don't worry, we're not checking, we're not cross-referencing. You could have said any age, we would have gone, that's fine.
But that was nip-a-tuck. We won't ask you their names because we don't want to risk you not knowing those.
Do you know, when I get trolled by people telling me I'm an awful mother, and I'm like, how dare you? And I'm like, God, you're right.
Yeah. Can't remember their ages. Come on a podcast and slag them off.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Oh, hey,
this is safe space.
You've got kids. Kids are a nightmare to live with.
They are.
You can't keep a house tidy. You just can't. It's draining. You love them and they're great, but my God, is it infuriating.
I literally just said out loud in the kitchen to her, it's like living with students. And then I was like, oh my God. What have I become?
It is.
It's like,
why
my
are they so slobby?
And a wife.
Oh, she's two. Okay, well, she's got... She's got more of an excuse being two.
I've just got no concept of putting things back where they came from, both of them.
Is that your wife and your daughter?
Yeah.
Oh God,
it's
your wife.
Living with students.
Yeah. I know. I think what gets on your nerves is you kind of tolerate it when they're little, but when they get older, you're like, no, come on. Because my kids will do things like they'll sit and eat crisps on the sofa, and then I just see a hand just wiping itself down the side of the sofa, and I'm like...
Right. Oh. And that's bad, is it?
Right. The fact that you need to ask, Ben Clark.
Yes. Okay.
A greasy hand being wiped down the side of the sofa. Imagine doing that over and over again for years.
What's your discipline tactics? Are you a taskmaster? Are you a hardcore mom, or do you let them do what they do?
No, I scream 24 hours a day and they all ignore me, and I don't know how to make them listen. I threaten, I scream, I yell, and they all just go, ah, she's just, bless her. She's passionate, isn't she?
Whisper. Maybe if you whisper, they'll really pay attention.
When I used to be a teacher, I used to do this thing when I just couldn't be bothered to shout anymore, where I would just keep putting pens out. So I'd get my pencil case out and I'd just lay a pen out one by one. And eventually the students would just be like, what's
She's had a breakdown.
So they'd all go quiet and start watching. And that used to work sometimes. So maybe I need to just do something psychotic.
Was the pen...
I'm not coming off very well here.
Yeah, she wasn't a very good mum, but then she did something psychotic and it really turned things around, actually.
Well, how do you get them?
Luckily, she did something psychotic and Mum of the Year in the end.
I don't know how you get kids to listen to you. I really don't. You have to follow through on things, and I'm not very good at following through. I'm always like, that's it. You're never going out the house ever again. And they're just like, it's blatantly going to happen. So I'm not very good at following. You know, parents are really good. Like, I have tried it, and it has worked for a period of time, doing the old reward charts and stuff, but you've got to be consistent. Yeah.
That's homework for you, though, isn't it? You're making more... The thing is, it's like, it's just making more work. It's so much easier to go, forget it, just watch another couple of episodes and go to bed later. That's the easy way of doing it, rather than go, no, look, I've made this chart and we're going to do this, and you know,
we've come up with last more, which is one past last, because glow never stops at last. So now we've got last more, so it'll be like, this is your last episode of Bing, and then we'll watch that, and she'll be like, last more, and I'll be like, okay,
that's
last
insanely,
more,
and it's like, that's insanely cute.
It's very last cute.
More? That's the problem, isn't it?
She's already got past last, and there's always last more.
But thank God they're cute, because if they weren't, you would like just pack up their little bags, wouldn't you? You need to jog on. But they are very cute, which helps you. Thank God you love them.
Are you not going to get to a stage though, Tom, where you
what
come
comes
up
after last more?
Last more, exactly. Yeah, that's the problem. Is if you don't, you know, if you move the goalpost once, eventually.
I've done myself in, because the first time I heard last more, I was so impressed, and I kind of melted and was like, of course, of course,
that's
you can last more. And then I had to explain to my wife, oh, I'm sorry, we've got last more now. Sorry. I fucked the system. It's like the speaker going up to 11. It's like, oh, yeah, I've broke our system, I'm afraid. There's no last more.
Yeah, my kids do that. They just go, but if we do big eyes, and they both just stand there with big eyes, and they know I can't handle it. I'm very kind of like, the thing with my kids is that I moan about it, but then I also do everything for them and just tell them that they're amazing all the time. So I've kind of made a rod for my own back, because I'm like, and they can do things, but I just end up doing it for them. Like, they'll literally just put, like, I don't know, rubbish on the side instead of putting it in the bin. And I'm like, oh, I'll go and clear that up. And it's like, no, you do it.
But that's a technique, isn't it, in itself? Like, whether or not they know it, it's that thing. We get this a lot on, like, trying to solve people's beefs. We get that where people will do a thing badly.
I love the way that my beef is with my children. It's how do you resolve the beef with your kids? It's like,
but doing a job badly is a technique, isn't it? Well, I'll wash up, you know, I will wash up. I'll just wash up so badly that the control freak says, well, in which case I'm doing all the washing up to do it properly.
Isn't it called quiet quitting nowadays? Is that there's like a phrase where it's like...
Well, you do the bare minimum in your job.
Bare minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're, but yeah, but I think quiet quitting
it's
should
nice
be...
for me and Clarkie to finally have a word for it, though, because, you know, after 8 years we can finally describe what our technique
Ben's
is.
It's very quiet quitting on the podcast. That's per.
I think just there's a difference between quiet quitting and doing a terrible job.
Ah,
I think
there's
a distinction.
Yes. Okay.
You may have crossed over.
You do
into
have
last
there.
More.
I'd appreciate if we had a last more chance, though, please, Crosby. Thank
no last more chances.
Oh, when Ben does those big eyes at you, Crosby, you can't say no to him. I liked it when we were saying it's hard to get kids to listen to you, and Ben was like, it is hard to get kids to listen to you. But I think, Ben, your rule is you've got to have kids before you let them listen to you. You can't just go to other people's kids and expect them to listen to you.
Actually, kids. They probably hey, fellow kids. That's my tack.
Actually, kids probably listen to other people more than they do their own parents. They feel very comfortable because it's a real safe environment, isn't it, not to listen.
Yeah.
So what you need is actually someone else to come in and scream at them.
Clarkie the outsider, like the you bring him in.
Yeah.
Like super like nanny.
Like a hired gun.
No, so if he's just sat and then he just pops up in front of your living room window just a head.
Fucking hell, like Twin Peaks. Yeah. Twin Peaks just, or something.
Yeah. Oh and just God. Goes. So he just pops up in front of the window and just goes, put that packet in the bin, and then disappears again.
Yeah.
I peek into the window.
Yeah, I have a feeling that like, I think that will, in the short term, incredibly effective. In the long term, therapy. Years and years of therapy to unpick the trauma of my parents paying for somebody to sit outside the window.
Whoa, I ain't paying no one.
No,
come on.
It's voluntary.
Please. Come on, guys.
I ain't got enough money for paying Ben to do that.
That's the closest I've been to a job for years.
It's an honour for you, Ben, all right?
Thank you. I'm very privileged. Thank you.
And also, what you do is you get Clarkie to wait outside the therapist's window, and when the session starts, you just pop and go, you don't fucking mention me, all right?
And then, you know, when the day comes, I'll do the same for you, Ben, you know.
Thank you. The day's never going to come. But
I was going to say, that's a very safe bet you're making there. Very safe bet.
You can just tell Megan to do things for Ben.
Yeah.
Get him a nice birthday present, all right?
Yeah. And then just disappear behind a bin at a bus stop.
From the sorting out your beef. Shall we solve some listeners' beefs? Because we're not solving any of these.
I don't know. I think we're close.
I feel like the answer to all of these beefs is going to be get Ben to pop up in front of the window and go, all right. So I think we might have come up with a fix for all beefs.
What is this new voice I've got?
That's an accurate impression of you.
Yeah, is that what I sound like?
Yeah.
It's strange, you know, you hear yourself in your own head, but when I listen back...
You're actually harder.
But I always threaten the kids with the man. Like when we're out and about, I always say the man will tell you off. So it's always the man at the... Because it's that ingrained misogynistic thing of like, it'll be a man who works at the train station. It'll be a man who works at wherever we're at. So I'm always like, if you don't behave, the man will come. And they're like, who's the man? And I'm like, well, now I know. It's Ben Clark.
After all this time, I was the man.
And then at some point when you start teaching them about feminism and telling them they're going to stick it to the man, that will also be Ben Clark.
That will also be Ben Clark.
Yeah.
But I mean, you must do that with your kids. You know, when you're out and you're like, no, the man will tell you off. But you mean like the person that works there. But I always just say the man. And they're like, who's the man? And I'm like, I don't know. I just use that as a generic term for employee.
And then they know that your threat is idle. they know that you are lying.
You don't listen to me, but the man will come and he'll tell you off.
The man who works at a train station as well. You've clearly not been to a train station recently. I was going to say, there's no one ever there. There's no, like, you never arrive at a train station that's teeming with staff members.
If you don't behave, that ticket machine is going to come over here and it's going to tell you off.
I just vaguely point at anyone. There'll be someone innocently just having a cup of coffee and I'm like, that man will come over and he will literally go mental at you.
Right, let's solve someone else's beef. Let's do this now. Righty-ho. Tom.
Weird neighbour beef from Naomi via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. Siblings in beef. I hope to obtain yours and your esteemed guest's sage advice. I work from home, which is lovely, as I get to hang out with my dog and eat lunch in my tiny garden. However, a problem has occurred in recent weeks. My neighbour has started making me uncomfortable with his comments. I won't try to explain the geography and topography of my garden, but I can say that my garden overlooks this neighbour's garden rather than being directly next door. It started innocently enough with the summer sun having us both outside at the same time and my dog being interested in him painting a fence. I'd not spoken to him before and suspect he may be the son of the woman who lives there, and we exchanged a few polite words about dogs and gardening and such. All fine and well. Except now, each time I go outside, he calls up to me about something inane or completely out of left field. Some examples. You look like a teacher. Are you a teacher? You and your dog going for a long walk today. Looks hot. Make sure you wear sunscreen. I can see your tan from here.
Oh, all right. There we go. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think, yeah, certainly that there's a bit of a leap from, you know, don't forget to wear sunscreen and I can see your tan from here has got sort of Silence of the Lambs type connotations, isn't it?
Okay.
Put the sunscreen in the basket.
I'm going to wear your skin one day.
Goodbye.
It's my tan now.
That's why he wants her to wear sunscreen. Please soften your skin.
And the
final one. I like that dress. Very summery. I know these may seem innocuous, but the tone and insistence that he speaks to me, even when I'm leaving the back of the house ready to walk the dog, complete with headphones and trying not to engage, is starting to freak me out a bit. Help me, brother's beef. I want to enjoy my little garden, tending my herbs and flowers, without being shouted up at and asked weird questions. It's got to the point where I secretly check if he's out there before using the back door, or crouching down when I let my dog out to do his business to avoid being engaged in a protracted, awkward, and sometimes creepy conversation with my neighbour's middle-aged son. But dankt Iodarin doi, and also cheers, everyone. Bye, Naomi.
Oh, okay.
It could be, I don't know, it could be that that's his way of, like, he's really misread the signals. And there is that problem of, like, a lot of people think that if you just smile and say hello, they're like, in there, straight in there, I'm definitely guaranteed a date here.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of, like, you have to draw that very clear distinction, which she shouldn't have to. She should be able to just go out to her garden, say hello, and not have to show her tan lines.
It's tricky as well because you can't then say, sorry mate, I'm not interested, you know, and he's like, I was just saying, wear some sunscreen, you know. It's a tricky one because you know it's hard to broach unless he makes a more overt statement.
Yeah, but most of us can read quite subtle signals.
Oh yeah.
And it sounds like he's struggling to read those signals, because I'm getting the impression that she would have been quite short in her answers to give off a very clear signal of, I'm not really up for any kind of flirtiness. And I get the feeling that he's just not reading those signals. So the question is, how can she make it clear without creating a negative atmosphere?
A fake garden boyfriend.
Yes. Scarecrow.
Is that?
She needs
scare creep.
We're back to Ben, yeah? Ben, you've got to go round.
I told you.
I knew in my ugly head.
So what she needs is to create she just needs a cardboard cut out of Ben in the garden.
Well, we all need that.
Just outside the window. I don't know what to suggest.
I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
You could explore the route of outweirding him.
Yes.
And kind of fight fire with fire. And kind of, if she goes
because she'll say something weird and then he'll go, wahey.
Yeah, a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
It's
a dangerous tack. What? How would you out-weird, Paz?
I can see your tan from here. I can see your bones.
But it's good.
Can you?
It is good.
Yes, right through to your bones. Very summery. Oh, what? like, don't go... Don't go fun weird. Go fucking weird.
Yeah.
Don't go fun weird. Yeah, and also, like, put a bit of meat in an old shoe, a man's shoe, and have the dog be eating out of this man's shoe and be like, he was a tasty one, wasn't he, dog? And then like, and he'll be like, what? And he'll be like, we'll get another one soon for us to feast.
Can I ask Tom, with nice bones. Tom, and did Naomi's message end with, by the way, I'd also like to be in prison by the end of the month?
Well, no, but it's a. You don't really eat the man, do you?
No, I know, but yeah, it's
good point. How far will this plan go, though, Tom? I imagine, like, in about a year's time, she's then having to drag imaginary bodies into the garden at night time and dig
just one
fake graves.
It only takes one. I think one fake body.
You just do it once. Mass killing. Yeah.
One fake body will really stop the.
See, I'm not very good with these types of things because I'm quite. I would just say to him, I don't want to talk to you.
Okay, there is that.
I mean, yeah.
I know that that would create a bit of a negative atmosphere. Or you could just say, like, if he says, like, oh, you know, long walk, whatever, you'd just be like, oh, yeah, huh. But if he's saying stuff like, oh, I like your tan, I'd just be like, what'd you say? That's weird. What's wrong with you? Who says that to a person?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, this is good. Maybe,
but then
just,
that is quite confrontational, and it does get me into a lot of arguments.
How is your relationship with your neighbours, Esther?
I've got lovely. Well, actually, those ones don't speak to me, but that's
okay.
Fine.
Right. Okay.
They're lovely to everybody else. I mean, I've seen them. Their behaviour to everyone else, they're lovely, but to me, they refuse to acknowledge my existence.
No,
because of something I said to you. Years ago when they said good morning to me and I said, what do you fucking say, mate? And lapped one of them.
They don't talk to anyone.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they're polite, right, but they very much keep themselves to themselves. Sure. Actually, when I got burgled, I was burgled, right?
Oh, no.
And they took all the kids' Christmas presents.
Oh, no.
I'm whispering because the kids didn't know that we bought them, obviously.
Yeah.
So we had all the, like, it was just before Christmas. Stole everything. I come home from the kids' school disco, so the kids are all like hyped up on sugar, had a really good time. I open the front door, everything's smashed up, everything's gone. Ran round to the neighbour's house, I know, knocked on the door because I didn't know what to do, and I just went, oh my God, we've been burgled. And he just went, oh, sorry to hear that, and then just really slowly shut the door.
Oh my God.
He slowly closed the door so you couldn't see the Xbox behind him. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm just playing on my Nintendo Switch now.
But that being said, they're never any trouble.
Yeah,
so never hear anything.
Never any trouble, never any help. That's London for you.
Would you maybe prefer that than having someone who's a bit much?
My other half was like, oh, I wish they were a bit more friendly. Because we get on really well with all our other neighbours. Like, they come around, have drinks and all the rest of it. And he was like, I wish they were just a bit more like... And I was like, yeah, but I'd rather that than they... We don't get on with them. Yeah. I'd rather that than they be out in the garden going, I like your skin.
Exactly, yeah.
At least they keep themselves to themselves. Yes, they took all my Christmas presents. But
it was someone at the school...
They were quiet.
It was someone at the school who knew the disco was happening that night.
Well... Someone else got robbed in the street as well, and they were in the house. It was an old couple, and the robbers just walked past them. They were sat on the sofa. The robbers just walked past them, went upstairs, took everything, and just walked out again. Isn't it mental?
Oh my God, that's awful.
Sorry.
That's
made it all about poor Naomi. We haven't given her any solutions.
I mean, it could be worse. You could be living in the same area that Esther's living in.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Esther, give out your postcode so Naomi knows not to move there.
Like, listen, Naomi, I think if he says hello, just say hello. But if he says anything weird again, you don't have to get confrontational, but you could just say, oh, that's made me feel a bit, or I don't know, just say something like, oh, that's a bit of an odd thing to say. And then just walk away, and then he'll feel a bit silly and he won't say it again.
Or say, I've killed for less. And then,
I've
like,
killed for less.
And you've got like blood around your mouth, like you've just been eating a body or something.
Yeah.
As another option.
Two different options, very different.
Or just sit in your garden by yourself on a deck chair, and then every now and then shout over your shoulder, I didn't say that!
Yeah, great.
So that he thinks you're talking to your imaginary friend.
This is the kind of vibe we're talking about.
Yeah, this is good.
Either that, or just grow some long fucking hedges, or, you know, like,
you were going to say arms then when you were gesticulating.
Just get
grow some
really
long arms and hit him in the head.
And then just windmill your way to his house.
Just stand atop the balcony with your really long arms and fucking lay into him.
Just grow your long windmill arms and attack screaming.
Beef solved.
You're welcome. Beer from the sorting out your beef. Solved. Right, listen. My neighbours run a vegan gelato company from their house. Several problems with this. Right? Well, two, actually. One, our street is often clogged up with cars of hipsters stopping by to pick up their frozen goods. And two, the neighbours are frustratingly generous and bring us tubs of the flavours they are trialling. Often, these are not very good. I can't think of a polite way to stop accepting experimental vegan gelato, and I'm sick of washing it down the sink. What can I do? Cheers, everyone. Bye, Sunny.
Well,
I love the fact that he's livid that they're bringing him food he doesn't like.
I mean, it's a really strong beef.
I want to live next door to him. But like, I've just made some soup. Would you like to try the soup?
If you're Sunny here, could you not set up your own vegan rival stall, undercut them, and just sell the flavours that they're trialling?
Yeah.
Or just make non-vegan ice cream that's better.
Yes.
And then you'll get all the rivals of non-hipsters, and then it'll be like, what's that film called? West Side Story.
Sharks versus Jets.
I wasn't going to guess that.
You know the film we're talking about, ice cream.
What were you going to go with? I was going to go with You've Got Mail. There are two bookstores.
Oh, yeah,
dueling bookstores.
No, there'll be like fights in the street. Dun dun.
Right, yeah.
Dun
yeah.
dun.
Rather than a sweet email exchange, which ends with a middle-aged couple getting together. Yeah, actually, yours is much better.
Well, no, I don't think he's going to get together with them because they're a couple, aren't they? Judging by Sunny's email.
In this day and age, Esther, in this
neighbours.
Day and age.
Oh, okay, yeah. He could become a thruple.
That might be my advice. Become a thruple and destroy from within.
Yeah, but he says he's sick of washing it down the sink, so where could he dispose of it?
If you've already got some, though, it's very easy to go, oh, we're still working our way through the last batch.
Yeah, working our way through the broccoli gelato you gave us last week. Really good, though.
Really chewing it down.
Is there some kind of sabotage that can go on here, where you kind of, like, go over with some rat piss or some shit?
This is what you need to do, Sunny, right? You, when they come round with another tub, say, look, it's been really generous of you, but I did actually have a flatmate called Jeff, and he had some of the gelato, and he's now dead. So you have to stop bringing me poisoned gelato.
You do a fake burying of the body again.
And then you do the fake burying of the body. Ben Clark comes round. We bury Ben Clark, right? Because he always has to be a prop in all the plans.
We've just dug him up from Naomi's house.
They'll panic and they'll stop making the ice cream for fear of killing people, and they'll stop bringing it round.
It is good.
I like it. So you're saying to them, look, there's two ways we could do this. You can either shut down your company, or I go to the police and say you basically murdered my flatmate. That's the way of doing it. Yeah.
I was going to be quite polite about it and be like, look, it's really generous of you, but you've killed Jeff.
Yeah. Is that polite?
You're all right so much, but you did kill my friend.
Thank you so much, but you literally, and I've had the coroner's report and make a coroner's report and then put cause of death, poisoning from
gelato,
soy ice cream. Yeah.
Soy, sorry.
So, oh my God, you are on fire with the puns. Yeah,
thank you. What do you think, Clarky, about this vegan gelato business?
When they come round, just say, I can see your tan. Hell, they'll head for the hills.
I can see your tan from here. I mean,
first of all, you know, compared to the first beef, it's not all that bad. I really want to know the flavours.
Yeah.
I mean, just accept that they don't like them. I mean, what are you going to say? They're going to say, oh, actually, you should eat that, even though you don't like them.
Say it's white chocolate, right? What does that do for you?
You can't have white chocolate, can you? I'm having it. Vegan?
White chocolate flavour. White chocolate flavoured gelato. Vegan white chocolate flavoured gelato.
But it's not very nice white chocolate. Yeah. Raspberry? But it's not very nice, raspberry.
I mean, it's all not nice.
I'm not sure what the flavours have to do with it, to be honest. That's my point. It's just not. They're just not. It's just not very nice.
I think my idea is best. I think Jeff's Dead is the best way to go.
I'm a huge fan of Jeff's Dead.
Yeah.
It is strong.
Do we have? I mean, like. How far do you go with Jeff being dead? Like, are you alerting the local press about Jeff being dead? I mean, is there like are you holding a memorial service? Is there a candlelit vigil? What are you doing?
Like a mock funeral for Jeff
in the back garden.
I love that.
You bury him out front.
That's such a turn that they would not be expecting. That's really dead, kind of you, but Jeff's dead.
Are you going to have moved in a Jeff?
No, Jeff was never seen. You don't have to move Jeff in. You just, I mean, but Ben Clark could do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely in his arsenal.
I'm getting called out to do a lot of things here. Yeah.
All right, you're a very versatile performer.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. I've got a lot of time on my hands.
Like, if you said my flatmate died, no one's ever going to go, oh, I didn't know you had a flatmate. Would they? They wouldn't be like that. They'd be like, are you sure you had a flatmate? Yeah. I mean, you just accept it.
Get Ben Clark to move in, Sonny. So yep. Ben and Sonny live together for a bit. And then Ben will fake his own death. You will fake bury Ben. And we will send you over a fake coroner's report. And
what
you
happens
will
in 2 months'
them.
Time when Clarky appears in one of his trademark adverts on telly?
It's been a long time.
Isn't that Jeff? Has to,
no, Jeff has to... Ben, Jeff, he has to wear a mask. A skin graft. He'll wear the skin from Naomi's neighbour.
Great, he's so wearing Naomi's neighbour's... Yeah. He's wearing Naomi's neighbour's face. Yeah, of course.
Wait, is he wearing it as Jeff or for his advert castings? Because I'd say...
For his advert
castings. Well, there are two options. Yeah, either Ben wears Naomi's neighbour's skin from now on.
At all
once
times.
Jeff's dead, he's now got to wear another man's face for the rest of his life.
Yeah. The casting is, we're looking for a leather face type. If anyone's... He sat with a load of other people all
skin.
All wearing someone else's
really
skin.
A really creepy man. or he is Naomi's neighbour. He wears Naomi's neighbour's face just to be Jeff, and then he can go back to being Ben Clark.
No, I don't think they'd buy that one. I think we have to send Clarky in as Jeff. Jeff's the big part, isn't it? That's the bit that we have to get right.
Yeah. Just think, Ben, after all these adverts, you've been building yourself up to this key role.
Yeah.
That's you true, are actually. Jeff.
So should we try and audition you now for Jeff? What, like, let's give him a few characteristics of Jeff. What's Jeff's vibe? What's like, because, you know, let's give Clarky a chance to get into the role of Jeff.
Yeah,
What's Jeff been up to during his days?
Let's imagine that I'm Sonny and I'm introducing Ben as Jeff to you two.
Great. Yeah. We're the vegan gelato guys.
You're the vegan gelato guys who are next door.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Great. We've just bought you some. This is it's white chocolate and raspberry vegan gelato.
Mm. Oh, great. I'll try it, but I must warn you, I'm a bit ill.
No, so Clarky, what are you not, Clarky? Why have you made yourself ill already in the first place?
I'm at death's door.
No, you should be at death's door before the ice cream, you lunatic.
You're sprightly, you're full of life, you're vivid. Jeff's fucking playing
frisbee
golf. Okay,
but I must warn you, I'm full of life.
Yeah, here you go, vim and vigor. I reckon you play frisbee golf.
Oh, one of those.
I've not even introduced you yet, and you've come in like a psychopath.
I'm sorry.
You've overplayed your part here, Jeff.
All they've come around and said, I've got gelato, and you've literally barged past me to get to the door and be like, oh, I'm dying. It's like, wow.
Let's just try again. Split the difference. Just have a bit of fun.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Have you brought more of your really nice vegan almond soy-based...
Yeah, it's white chocolate and broccoli.
Mmm, delicious. Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but I've just moved in... My friend, Jeff. Here he is. This is him.
Oh, hey, Jeff. Jeff, how would you feel about eating some of this delicious broccoli-flavoured vegan gelato?
I can't wait to get that down my throat and into my belly. Pass it here. Quick.
Hey, Jeff. Sorry, that accent. Where were you born?
I was born in Sunderland.
Sunderland.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff, why are you doing impressions of Mr. Tumble?
Big Mr. Tumble energy from you there. Yeah,
that's really cool.
I've never seen it.
He talks like that all the time.
Hello,
that's you.
And today we're trying vegan gelato. It's lovely.
What you didn't know about Jeff is that he also presents a TV show for children. Right. So he does that sometimes. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, would we have seen you in any shows? Jeff, what's your children's show called?
Yes, my children's show is called Look at That, It's Jeff.
No. It's definitely not okay.
This is not going well. It's not going
look
very
at that,
well.
It's Jeff.
Really? No.
I say, look no at one. That's fine.
Yeah, no, look at that. No.
Wow. It's a guy. Jeff.
I don't know. I mean, I would say, look at that is just about acceptable, but look at that, it's Jeff is. It's all kinds of problems.
Hello, look at me.
I think look at that, it's Jeff is what Naomi should be saying at midnight when she's digging a hole to throw the neighbour off.
I'm really okay with Jeff dying. He's annoyed me already.
Yeah, Jeff's a twat, isn't he?
He's annoying.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, you guys.
I think when Jeff dies, you'll be the number one suspect because people will be like, Sonny fucking hated Jeff. There was definitely a vibe they wanted to get rid of Jeff.
No, because we've got the coroner's report, which will state that he died from the ice cream and I didn't make the ice cream. So I've already Columbo'd the crap out of you.
Are we buying off a coroner now?
No, we're going to make a fake coroner's report. We'll do that. It's fine.
Yeah, Photoshop that. That'd be easy enough. Yeah.
Do anything online these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know.
I've got a website you can all go to.
Oh, fuck off, Jeff. Just fuck off. Christ.
Look at that. It's a coroner's report.
No one's going to Jeff's funeral. That's our problem now. Everyone hated the cunt.
I'll go to his funeral. Well, I'll have to.
To dance on his grave.
Slosh it with ice cream.
Have you got a eulogy prepared for Dave? For Jeff,
For Jeff. Get his name right. If we're going to murder him, we can't
be speaking his name halfway through.
The case is coming apart at the seams.
Have I got a eulogy? Here lieth Jeff, my best friend.
Beef solved.
Is that the voice of Jeff coming from the grave?
I think, yeah. Clarkie, another note.
Can you let me out now, please?
No, another note. Jeff's once you're in the coffin, just no more speaking. I think that has to be the rule, right?
Okay.
I
know. Sorry about that.
Stop trying to big up your part and everything. Stop trying to write yourself a third act. You're dead. You're being buried alive, but you've got to be really quiet about it.
Just going a bit lightheaded.
Yeah, I think that's. I'm sorry, Jeff. That's just part of the. If you want, you want to.
Someone's leaning on my breathe tube.
You wanted to go. You wanted to go method on this. I'm afraid that's the way it's going to be. Well, we've cut the breathe tube.
Oh, poor Jeff.
Poor Jeff.
He died as he lived. Annoying.
From the sorting out your beef. Solved.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So, Clarkie, this is quite exciting. We've got one of our free-range beefs now. A free-range beef for you to enjoy.
Let's say this steak is very tender, sir. That, sir, is because it's free-range beef.
Bow down!
Bow down!
Bow down!
I got a beef for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a free-range beef, actually.
Oh!
I believe you guys know all about this.
We do.
Yeah,
can't wait to hear it.
Me too. A driving signal beef.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm on board already. Dear Tom, Ben, Matthew, and hilarious guest, can I just say I loved you when you did that thing on that thing. It was brilliant, and it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, the green one. It's nice when they personalise it.
Very nice.
I know. Is it my mother?
This is a car journey beef. I'm a husband to an incredible wife, and I'm a father to our two young children. Oh my God.
This is my favourite speech from
this
Gladiator.
This is going to go all Gladiator. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, it's my favourite.
Oh, it's my husband.
Often, as is the case, we'll all get in the car and drive to various activities for the kids or family days out, etc. I'm the driver of the family, what with the kids only being 4 years old and 10 months respectively, and a wife who has a driving license but has never driven since the day she passed her test nearly 15 years ago. Ooh, that's fine. I like driving.
By the way, you hit that like it isn't fine. It's really
that was so poignant.
That's fine. Far be it for me to complain about that sort of thing. Doing all of the driving, always being tired when you arrive at a thing because you've driven for 4 hours on your own. Okay, that's fine.
Is she also teetotal and refusing to drive? So he always has to not drink.
Clarky was just doing it with Jeff inflection. Don't worry, he's just still. Okay. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
That's fine. I like driving, and my wife likes deserved snooze occasionally, especially on our longer journeys. My beef, though, is with driving etiquette. Thank you, beef.
Do you want to hit that again, Clarky?
Yeah.
Driving etiquette.
Because this is quite an important bit. The beef. My beef is the bit of driving beef, but thank you, beef.
My beef is, thank you, beef. Ben, never ever read the news. You'll be like, and there is war breaking out in... Moving on. Thank you, beef.
The answer to this is incredibly simple. I think I've cracked it. Thank you, beef.
Okay. My beef, though, is a driving etiquette thank you, beef.
Still not sure it's better. I don't think this is on Ben. Clarky, I apologise. It's not your fault at all.
It's a confusing one, and there's a dash in there. So it's driving etiquette thank you.
It's people not saying thank you when they're driving. That's his beef.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah. If I'm ever out driving with my wife in the car, and let's say we're waiting at a junction and someone lets us out, then she will perform the internationally accepted signal of a raised hand. She puts her hand inside herself.
Moves herself like a puppet.
I've heard of backseat driving. This is ridiculous. Thank you, beef.
Thank you, beef.
Oh, thank you, beef.
Okay. She will perform the internationally accepted signal of a raised hand to express thanks to the other generous driver. My feelings is that it's the responsibility of the driver.
Interesting. Okay.
Sometimes you both thank simultaneously and offer a double open palm. I'm fully capable of doing it when driving solo, either with a raised hand or a classic flash of the hazards. Oh, I love that.
Love that, yeah.
I love a hazard, thank you. Is this not a driver-to-driver thing? Beef Brothers, please sort out my beef and send it back to me swiftly down the motorway in an open and shut closed beef case.
Thank you, beef.
Weirdly, I said that exactly right. P.S. I'm a new patroner and am loving the back catalogue. Thanks for keeping me going over the past few years. Front names only, Al.
Oh, well, firstly, thank you for being a Patreon subscriber, Al. Secondly, thanks, apologies Al, for what Clarky did to your message. Thirdly, thank you, beef.
So just to clarify, he's annoyed that his wife is thanking on his behalf.
Yes, I think yes. That's it.
Ah.
Ah.
Aha. I know how he feels, because I think sometimes if the person next to you does it, it makes you feel it, like
you're a learner.
Yeah, or like you weren't going to do it.
Like you're an ungrateful person.
Yeah. Like, he won't wave, so I have to do this
because he doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I don't drive. So that's all I have to say on that. But I have had this... no, I don't. And I never even got my test. And that's fine.
That is fine.
No, I can't drive.
As long as you're for petrol money.
Yeah, my husband makes... He pulls over and frog marches me to a cash machine. Every time we do the big shop. But I drive half of the way there.
I was talking about comedians getting you to gigs. You don't have to give your husband petrol money. That would be intense.
I know. I thought that's what you meant. I was like, wow. I'm getting the impression your missus is a lucky lady.
Imagine. Oh, man.
I don't. So, as the passenger in his car, I wouldn't do the thank you on his behalf. But that's probably more because I don't know when to do it.
Yeah.
just waving at people
like a monarch.
But we have had arguments over me asking for the bill.
Oh,
in the past.
Go on.
Oh.
Explain that. What he'll ask, you'll ask for the bill, and he'll pay the bill. Is that the problem, or he'll, you know, how do you mean?
He wants to ask for the bill.
He's always like, why do you always have to ask for the bill?
Why do you always have to ask for the bill?
Well, it's not really a problem anymore. But I remember when we first started going out, I used to always just ask for the bill, and he's like, "Why do you always do that? You always ask for the bill.
You always ask for the bill after the starters. Why are you? Come on, surely the date's going better than this, isn't it?
It's because I didn't want to go out with him. So I don't know. So I wondered whether it was an emasculating thing, the old putting the hand up, or is it just that, oh, it's implying that you weren't going to do it, which you think it's that.
I think it's the latter.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it makes you look like you were just going to be like blithely, you know, just accepting that everyone should give you right of way on the road.
I would have thought that if I saw someone saying thank you in the passenger seat, that the other person is a learner driver. Mm. That's what I would assume.
That's interesting.
Too nervous to take their hands out of the 10 to 2 position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's another thing. The other day, I received a double wave from two lads in a car, and it made me double happy to get the wave.
Oh, did it?
Can you say this? I felt like, this, Jeff, please.
Were you driving at the time, or they just drive past you
and wave?
It was you and me, Tom. We drove past Clarky. Yeah, right? Yeah. See you at the show, mate.
Thanks, boys. No. You don't give any petrol money?
But I felt, as a driver, what I'd done was so generous that both of them felt compelled to give me a little wave.
I also think that if you're a driver and you're in the passenger seat, then you'll automatically do it without thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if you're in someone else's car...
But that's Al's wife doesn't have that excuse. She is technically she is able to drive, but hasn't driven for 15 years. So that's what we've heard from this. So, I mean, but how do we, like?
So what?
What's the solution?
I've got two suggestions. I think the sensible thing, as ever, when you're driving, is you do you. Your passengers can do what the fuck they like, but you do you. It's your car. You're the driver. You thank, if they thank as well, it's a bit much from them. But you're doing you, right? So I think that's the first thing.
Yeah.
You thank regardless. The second question then is, how can we busy up your wife's hands?
Well, this is what I was thinking. The first thing you do is if you
get... Easy there,
if you,
easy.
If you, nothing internal. The first thing you do is...
She's killing Jeff.
Struggling Jeff in the footwell. I think the first thing you do, right, is you say,
you should
listen,
put Jeff in the back seat.
Well, a great backseat driver to have Jeff there. Turn
Jeff
right.
Jeff stayed in the boot.
Jeff.
Let me out. I'm trapped in here. My breathe pipes come out.
You've connected my breathe pipe to the exhaust pipe.
Oh, no.
Wait, I think what you should do, first of all, and it's a generous thing to do, but you, as if you're going on a long journey, the first thing you do is you go to one of those like drive-through Starbucks or Costa or whatever, and you go in, you go,
let's two large,
let's
coffees.
get two large coffees, and when you come out, you go, sorry, they didn't have any lids. So they're holding two coffees for the entire journey. Obviously, yeah. One's going to be depleted; you can slowly sip away. But you go, oh no, I'm fine for the moment. I'll wait for it to cool down. You can pass it to me in a second. Yeah. But they're
just
always going
to
sure, be.
She's always got two things, so to be like ice creams, coffees.
As soon as the
I wanted
gone.
Two ice creams, and then as soon as she gets in the car, I go, I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
You eat them.
You're having to.
I'll eat them. Oh no, they've killed me.
Yeah. I tried to get ice creams. I got vegetarian gelatos. It's the best I could do. White chocolate and raspberry. Off you go. Soy sorry. I think that's genuinely the way to do it. Is like, or a Game Boy, or Nicky.
Game Boy is a good one.
Game Boy is really good. Juggling balls.
He did say, Al did say that he didn't mind driving because she, you know, is tired with the children, so she wants to have a little snooze. So maybe
give her a blindfold.
Try and encourage her, make it so comfy, be like, oh, I've bought you a little carpet blanket and I've got you some
carpet blanket. Roll her up in a piece of carpet.
I think that's called a rug, isn't it? A carpet blanket.
The countryside. Treat her like Jeff.
You're treating her like Aladdin.
I genuinely don't know why I said that. I meant car blanket. I don't know where carpet came from.
Oh, I see. You're right. A little car blanket. Yeah.
Yeah. I told you I don't drive, so I don't know the words.
I know all these technical terms.
So, yeah, get her a blanket, an eye mask, little comfy slippers, maybe put like a little lavender infuser on her side. Ooh. And just make sure that she snoozes.
He's going to fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, you're correct. I was thinking that. Gotta be careful with that lavender infuser. You're driving, look after yourself, and busy up your wife's hands. I think that's
yeah, but don't say it like that.
Don't say it like that.
But you know,
maybe say it like Jeff.
I'm gonna busy up your hands.
Busy up your hands.
That's another title of Jeff's TV shows.
Oh, it sounds more like something Naomi's neighbour would say.
Yeah, let's busy.
Oh, it's
up
a lovely
hands.
Day. Are you gonna busy up your hands?
Oh. Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Ba-dum-bum.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Esther, do you have a beef with your flatmate, your neighbours, your anyone in your surrounds that you would like us to try and solve? And by us, I mean Jeff.
I do have a bit of beef. There's a woman that lives. She lives like off the back, but one, and she keeps feeding foxes. So they come into our garden and they're pooing everywhere. And it's getting worse because a fox has had cubs. So at least when the cubs were small, they didn't really go anywhere. But now they're grown up and they're just pooing everywhere. And I don't know how to get rid of the foxes. And she's not very well, she's not very well in the head.
Sure.
So you can't go around there and have a go at her. But she keeps feeding the foxes. And me and the other neighbours are like, what do we do? And we have tried to talk to her, but she doesn't really get it, bless her. So I don't know what to do. So I think, okay, obviously we've got to set Jeff alight.
First things first.
But how do you deal with that? Apparently someone said, well, one of the neighbours said, she said, oh, you've got to get your husband to piss around the garden. But then it's just going
to
smell.
So I was about to suggest that you shit. Yeah, you get Jeff to shit in your garden, like, and then they'll see bigger shit and it'll scare them away.
Is that what happens? I don't want to shit.
I don't know, but that's what I was going to suggest. That's not based on any
that's,
knowledge.
That's kind of solving a problem by creating yourself a bigger problem.
Yeah, because then it'll just smell of my piss and shit.
Okay, how about this?
We know, Esther's piss and shit smells worse than Fox's piss and shit. She actually told us that before we started recording, but
we've all read the reviews.
Well, that's how,
review.
You know, Pete
brought my baby.
That's how I introduce myself. Hi, I'm Esther. A little fun fact. It does smell worse than most foxes. So
no foxes ever come to her shows. So, you know, she's right.
But I don't think we can stop the woman from feeding the foxes.
Okay, I've got it. Get your kids. You have your kids on a rotor on the fence. And whenever she puts the food down, they eat it before the foxes.
No.
What food?
Ha 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 It was a bold attempt, Harry, and well done. But no, I think that's fair, actually. What's she feeding them?
No.
I'm not going to get my kids to eat like raw meat.
Okay.
Like, I get it.
All right, if you don't want the problem solved.
Esther, can we just say that we've already said
you don't think I'm the best mum. Yeah. But I will draw the line.
Take a shit in your garden and get your kids to eat raw chicken. Oh, I don't know what we can lead you to water, we can't make you drink, all right? Listen.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, if you're not going to thank you beef, then what are we supposed to do?
Thank you beef. I want to know, how do I stop foxes from coming into my garden, or how do I communicate? Or how, I don't know, how do I stop the foxes being fed?
Now, I remember seeing on Blue Peter years and years ago that if you fill a large clear lemonade bottle with water and leave it on your lawn, it means that the foxes won't come on your lawn. I don't know. I've never tried it.
Is that a bit, they're shitting, mate. They're not.
Oh, sorry. Well, they're having babies, aren't they? They're certainly doing something. I heard this creature.
They're making that weird noise.
I don't care about the ejaculation. I don't want them shitting there. They can come where they like, but I don't want them shitting there.
You refuse to slut shame these foxes.
How does a clear lemonade bottle stop them from pooing on your lawn?
I don't know. It just wards them off. I mean, I'm not sure. This is something I remember from like the 80s.
We used to do that, but I thought it was for cats.
Oh, right. Maybe it's cats.
But I mean, it could be the same thing, but my mum used to do it.
Oh, did she?
So it is.
Yeah, she used to piss and shit all around. Oh, wait, which one are we talking about?
My mum used to do the water bottles. Jeff's face red. Is that what we're all talking about? Is that the thing? What? Absolutely not.
What?
Okay. All right. So
this is a tricky one.
Okay. So I'll try the lemonade thing, and if not, then so be it.
Eat the meat. It cannot be the lemonade thing. Right?
Eat the meat. Yeah.
The foxes have come into our cities now. I mean, this isn't the '80s anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they're urbanites. They're not going to be spooked by a plastic lemonade bottle.
Maybe you could make like. Maybe you could make like a fox that looks so terrifying it scares all other foxes, like a gnarled, like a kraken beast.
Yeah, this is good. I like this.
Out of plastic lemonade bottles.
Enter Jeff.
Enter Jeff and fuck him until he's... No, listen. I actually listen to a problem like this.
When did fucking Jeff become the thing?
Upsettingly, in the bonus beef, so this isn't going to make any sense.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to a thing where crows were eating a football pitch and it was becoming problematic, and Chris Packham came on and said, what you need to do is you need to ward them away with better feed... and lead them to a different area, and then it's their problem over there. So I think you need to start lobbing really nice meat to the other neighbours. You need to start preparing better meat. If she's putting raw chicken down, you've got to cook it and season it, five spices. You've got to kind of like work them away, some kind of special thing for the foxes to go, that they prefer your stuff, and then you lead them away to a different area and they become accustomed to that area. Yeah, but you just lead them somewhere else, and then off they go. It's someone else's problem. Packham's advice, that was.
Was it?
Good. I mean, if Packham says it, it's got to be right.
So you might need to put a bit of effort into the first kind of week of preparing meals for foxes.
Okay.
Set up a little fox cafe, but just not on your property, elsewhere.
And then you lead them away until they're like a tube. It'll take a few months. Put them on the tube. By the end, you've led them all the way.
Like a cartoon cooked chicken with the smell wafting, like the lines.
And then I just lead them
to the central line.
That's right.
Yeah, just make sure it's not the circle.
Cover your entire body in chicken and sprint through the streets. And when the foxes chase after you, jump on the
tube.
Like
a Lady Gaga meat dress.
Exactly,
was
exactly.
It her?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They're all on me, like police dogs.
I'm doing it for the neighbourhood.
And I'm just screaming, get Jeff, into Jeff.
I've had a quick Google, by the way, and there is, I mean, you know, if there's a few people anecdotally on forums saying, deterring foxes and cats with plastic lemonade bottles half filled with water and left around the garden. I've also found this as well, which is a gardening expert says, keep your old tea bags and dip them in eucalyptus. The smell is so strong, it will the foxes can't abide the smell of eucalyptus. In the same way that mice don't like coffee, the smell of coffee. So if you get peppermint, dip your tea bags in peppermint or eucalyptus, the strong smell will ward them away. I mean,
wow. I have to say, our new podcast, Pappy's Google the Answers For You, is less
It's not as entertaining, is it? It's not as entertaining.
It's not quite the hook we talked about when we said
I tell you what, but, you the know. Weird thing is, I Googled it and it said, fuck Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's now a thing. It's gone. It's gone
well,
viral.
Well, it's the Google homepage, isn't it, for the next couple of days.
I was coming home from a gig last night, and I was walking along, me and quite a big guy, big guy, and this tiny little mouse ran down the corridor, and both me and the guy let out a scream that was of similar pitch. And he was like, that was embarrassing, because we both just went,
the worst.
And I was like, oh dear.
The worst.
Oh dear. Get Jeff.
I was walking home from a gig in Edinburgh. It was midnight. I was walking with my friend Kieran, and a rat crossed our path, and I leapt into the street and went, ah! And at that moment, the guy who owned the restaurant opposite was like throwing water onto the pavement. So I leapt from the rat, and then this crash of water came to my right, and I thought that was a swarm of rats. So I went, ah! Splash, ah! And like just lost my mind.
You just weren't coping with life.
Lost my fucking, yeah, I looked like Edinburgh's, you know, yeah, they got me early.
Fringe is stressful.
I was so hungover in Edinburgh, like, because I had my 40th in Edinburgh, and I was walking down the street the next morning, like, I felt like my eyeballs were bleeding, and I was walking with two friends, and a very enthusiastic student leapt out and went, want to come to this show? It's £100 in an hour, and I couldn't even articulate how much I didn't want that, so I just literally pushed his face away and just went, And they were like, she's really not feeling well, sorry about that. But I was like, I couldn't even voice that that's the worst thing I could think of.
Not really hurtful, actually, Esther, because that was my show, so, you know.
£100 in an hour when you're really
hungover.
I'd react worse to that than a swarm of rats, to be honest.
Just like, please stop. Right, thanks for that. I'll try all that then.
Well, you're very
try
welcome.
All that then.
Yeah, meet
you. Or just Google it.
Yeah, there's also, you can Google it. Answers are all there. Listen, I was only doing it, Tom.
This
I was only doing it to check if my thing was right or if I just made it up. But,
I know.
Well, Esther, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been a real pleasure
thanks
having you.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really,
sorry
really
to
fun.
Sorry have been terrible. Terrible
Rare we get an apology during the podcast. People normally text them afterwards, but...
Oh, do they?
Thanks.
No, I think it's important just to make sure that everyone knows I'm aware that this is not okay.
Where can people find you to help you out? Now, where can people find you if they want to see your comedy? Where can people go?
If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, I just put all my gigs up there.
Great.
I reckon. That's where I put them.
Yeah. What are your handles?
What are my handles? All right, Esther Manito.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At Esther Manito on everything.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, yeah, we'll be able to, perfect. We'll be able to find you there, definitely.
I love that you all waited for me to say at Esther Manito.
We meant to say, what's your name? Yeah, what's your name?
Weird we didn't ask that earlier in the podcast, actually.
Who are you?
We've been chatting on the Zoom chat. Does anybody know who this is? She's just come into the Zoom and we've got no idea. She's
that's how I get all my gigs. I just hang outside the comedy store and just slip in when no one's looking. From the sorting
out your beef. There we go. That was great.
It was, wasn't it? I loved chatting to Esther. She's absolutely brilliant. We had such a fun time. Don't forget as well, if you enjoy Esther and you enjoy us, then get over to the Patreon where there will be a bonus beef, a whole beef that wasn't included on the podcast. That will be over there at the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. For just £4 a month, you can get that bonus beef, all the previous bonus beefs that we've recorded with our previous guests, and of course, a brand new episode of Flatshare Pop Round every single week. Loads of great stuff. It's a phenomenal deal. It's well worth it. So get on board for that. We've got a message though, a message from Brian about the beef that we solved with Tom Neenan about the Groundhog Day dinner beef.
Yes, Groundhog Day dinner, something my wife and I have talked about a lot since it came up. Brian via Patreon got in touch to say, in defence of people who eat the same thing over and over. No jokes in here, just a bit of sharing. I'm a man of broken brain and a fair old way up the old spectrometer. I've always found comfort in eating the same food for every meal, either at lunch or at dinner endlessly, or dinner and tea, as I'm a northerner and use the word dinner correctly. Whenever I've started a new job, colleagues are always flabbergasted when they see me eat my same meal again for the third day, and then more so for the fourth. By the fifth day, it's become funny, and then no one bothers. Having not to worry about what I'm going to have for dinner or tea removes so much stress from my life. I think that's something we hinted at.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to anyone. However, it comes with some drawbacks. Firstly, when a shop stops stocking one of the vital items, it's a bit of a panic and will take a week or so to adjust. Secondly, I was once told by an ex it was one of the least attractive things about me. I think the one off was the real stinger in that sense.
Anyway, to be fair, if I did it, it would be pretty low down on the list.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely horror show, Clarky.
Anyway, let the poor bloke eat his identikit dinner in peace and enjoy your own food, more so quietly in your own head.
Thank you, Brian. Great message, and
was a great message.
Yeah, opened up our understanding of what this guy might be possibly be going through. Cheers. If you'd like to get in touch with a beef of your own, get in touch at beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. You can have your beef solved on the show. Try not to use any phrases like "I am a Nigerian prince" so they don't slip into the spam folder.
Although if you are a Nigerian prince, don't let that stop you getting in touch.
Yeah, please do get in touch.
If you want to get in touch with us and say, "Hello, Dainty, I've come into £8 million. Could you transfer your bank details to me so I can give them to you?" Then that would be great.
I think just use the word "actually." Like, I actually am a Nigerian.
Then we'll know.
We'll look out for that.
Honestly, I am. Yeah. upcoming gigs. Right. So we have got on October the 9th, we've got the Cheerful Earful Festival. The tickets are still available for that. It's us and the Birthday Girls doing a Flatshare stand down at 5 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to be joining them for their Birthday Girls house party as their guests. It's a wonderful double bubble,
baby.
It's a wonderful double bubble.
We're going to be so drunk for the second show.
We're going to have a lovely time. It's over in Balham.
I'm going to be drunk for the first show.
It's in Balham at the Bedford. Tickets from cheerfulearful.co.uk, I think, but there'll be a link to tickets to the ticket notes here. We also, by the way, watch this space. We've got a date for our Christmas show. We now know when our Christmas show is going to be. We're going to put a link for tickets up on the Patreon first, and then a couple of days later we're going to put a link for tickets for everybody else. So another reason to get yourself over to the Patreon if you'd like to get first dibs on those tickets. It's well worth joining the Patreon for that. patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
Are we doing a date release?
Yeah, well,
a separate thing.
I would say the tickets will go on sale via the Patreon rather than a save the date like it's a wedding. But you know what? I'm up. Should we do a date release?
Yeah.
Let's do a date release. Okay.
Okay.
We'll do a date.
It's coming your way soon.
A date release. Woo-hoo. Yeah. We'll do it on the Patreon first and then we'll release it. Listen, and if you are a member of the Patreon, don't leak the date. Guys, we're not just asking
you
to save
December.
It. Hold on, Barry!
We're telling tales out of school.
Come on, we were holding out fib.
That's all you're going to know
that's
for now.
That's all we're giving you. That's all we're giving you so far.
All right. Well, as always, cheers for listening in. Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Don't forget, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, or as Pierre Nivelli might put it,
send us your beefs, you whining fucks. This is a paid advertisement for Pappy's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch. Roll call! Now, I don't know about you, but if you want hearing that's as clear as a bell, then give your ear canals a quick scrub with Ear Cleaner by Graham Wells.
Oh, it's a fantastic product. I can't say enough about it. Let me tell you now.
Yes, if, well, we all use it.
If you are ever in your back garden and thinking, I wish this was flocking with a variety of pigeons, magpies, sparrows, etc., then you want to get yourself the new bird feeder from our friend Dan Leader.
A wonderful, wonderful product that. And here's a great prod for you. Have you ever thought, I want to like watch other people do bits of life? Well, you can do that. You can do that.
Okay. I have to say, I do think that on a regular basis.
Any specific?
Well, there are all kinds of variety, Tom, at a theatre where you can just go and see a play. And that's a wonderful product being offered by Jazz K.
A play, of course.
Theatre impresario, Jazz K.
Bits of Life.
Bits
new
of
production.
Life. Enjoy it.
On tour nationally.
Now, look, if you're like me, and I'm sure the guys agree with this, sometimes you just can't catch a break. Well, you can now if you sign up to this luck service provided by the luckiest man in town, Mr. Adam Drake.
Adam Drake, he's a wonderful product, he really is.
And to get 15% off your first batch of luck, just type in /... All right then, mate.
Just type in /... All right then, mate, and the luck will come to you in a jiffy bag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Oh, you know what? I love various farming products, and you know, who doesn't love various farming products? And all of my farming products, as you well know, are made out of a variety of reptiles. That's right. I've got a scurrying gecko trowel. I've got a blending in chameleon spade. Very hard to find that one. And I've even got a snake, which I call, of course, my slither hoe. And it was made by the good people over at Ian Clithero. One a wonderful company and some fantastic products. You really should get your hands on them today.
Astounding work.
Now, can we get that again? Just under 20 seconds. We need that.
I'll do my best. Now, if you're anything like me, you know that need a lot of farming products. I've got a few myself. They're all made out of various reptiles. I've got my my scuttling gecko rake. I've got my blending in spade made out of a chameleon, and of course I've got my slither hoe made out of a snake, made of course by the good people at Ian Clithero. Get your farming products made out of reptiles today.
Really good, and I've actually use the discount code on that, and do have that. It's a great product.
It's a great product. It's a great discount code. We won't tell it to you now.
I'd like to talk to you, for a moment, if I may, about money. It's very. Oh, yeah. I personally find it a mystery. Why don't I have it? How can I get more? When I have it, how can I hold on to it? And that's why we have this wonderful guy who's going to help you out with his financing. It's the wonderful.
It's the wonderful Terry Rynansing. Thank you, Terry Rynansing, for
financing Ted Danson. Oh, it's not.
Oh,
it's
Ted Danson. Of course, it's Ted Danson.
Enough. Ted Danson.
Great to have Ted Danson. And also, very rare we get a Hong Kong dollar Patreon. But thank you, Ted Danson. You. Your secret is safe with us.
Guys, it's red.
Yes.
It's wet. It's blood. He can get you a few milk bottles full of the stuff. It's Craig Wood.
Craig Wood with his milk bottles of blood. They are truly used. Don't forget, of course, if you want to get that product, type /, give us some blood.
Best not ask any questions.
No questions asked.
He runs a no questions policy. No. So.
The only question he will accept is, can I have some blood, please, in a bottle?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he will answer that with a hearty yes. Three bottles coming right up.
No question.
I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah.
I've been getting... not just blood I've been getting now from the good people over at Craigwood, but I have been getting a lot of bile in bottles
of
now.
Oh,
yes,
great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bile, which is, as you know, very hard to get bile pumped fresh from the spleen, but there are good people over at Aaron Green, very helpful, and they'll pump it.
And also, what's refreshing about the people over at Aaron Green? They'll accept any questions about their bile.
Oh, yeah. If anything, I ended up spending most of the day there just chatting, asking. And also,
Their questionnaires come.
Questions beyond the bile.
Much like with the previous two, I know a lot of you, we've had a lot of people actually, a lot of interest in this, getting hold of large quantities of stomach acid. And
people love it.
They can't get enough. And
if you've not got any of your own, you've got to outsource it.
And you know, of course, your milk bottles are blood, but how can you step it up a gear? Well, of course, you want an entire milk pail, and who can get that for you? That is Ollie McHale.
Ollie McHale with a milk pail.
If you're a lot like me, you've got your blood, you've got your spleen, but where are you getting your sex beads from? Well, give a call to Rosie Geeds.
I think it'll be Geddes, but
yeah, it'll be Geddes.
Listen, it doesn't really matter. The sex beads are fantastic.
They are.
You've got to get them.
Yeah, you've got to get them.
I have got some. I've got some great news. A wonderful offer. Currently 100% off this product. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist. It's 100% off. There's none of it left. We're completely sold out. So I'm afraid. We're completely sold out of the fresh green grass that the cows have been chewing to fill their stomachs with all the cud. So I'm afraid. Nothing by everyone goodbye, and it's Charlie Mass.
Lovely,
everybody,
lovely. I'm really surprised you managed to get that in one take, actually, Crosby.
Yeah, I thought I nailed that, actually.
So that's / patrons neighborhood watch roll call / concluded /.com.
Tom, have you ever used a computer before?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.